Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. International Women's Day is celebrated each year on March 8th. Groups around the world use this day to honor the progress of women. They also use the day to call attention to the social, political, and economic problems facing women and girls.
Nearly twice as many girls are denied an education as boys. That is according to a new report by the United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. The report was released to mark International Women's Day on Tuesday. A lack of educational options stunt the lives of girls and women from one generation to the next, said UNESCO Director General Irina Bokova. Across sub-Saharan Africa, 9.5 million girls will never walk into a classroom, compared to 5 million boys, according to the UNESCO report. More than 30 million children aged 6 to 11 are out of school across the region. The gender gap is wider in South and West Asia, where 80% of girls will never enter formal education, compared to 16% of boys, according to the report. Girls are the majority of the millions of children denied school in Arab nations, UNESCO said. But the organization said exact numbers are not available because of conflicts in the region. Discrimination against girls and women drew worldwide attention in 2012 when Malala Yousafzai, then 15, was shot in the head on her way home from school in Pakistan. The Taliban targeted her and her family because they called for more and better education for girls. Malala survived the attack after successful surgery in England and continued to advocate for girls' education. She gave a speech on her 16th birthday to the United Nations. She wrote a book, I Am Malala, the girl who stood up for education and was shot by the Taliban. In 2014, Malala won the Nobel Peace Prize. Alice Albright, chief executive of the Global Partnership for Education, said Malala Yousafzai helped show the plight of girls and women. Albright said discrimination against girls is even worse after elementary school. Girls face more barriers than boys to further their education. The reasons differ, but include parents deciding they need their children to work in fields or do other work, Albright said. She adds that it is far more likely that girls are chosen for these tasks. Another reason is that girls are often forced into marriages after elementary school. Girls are also more likely to have no way of getting safely to school, given military conflicts and crime problems in some countries. And sometimes girls or their parents decide against continuing education because at many schools, girls and boys share the same bathrooms, Albright said. Adding to the problems girls have getting an education is a lack of school buildings and teachers in many poor nations. Boys often get the chance at scarce resources. I do think some progress is being made, but by no means is it enough progress, Albright told VOA Learning English. The challenge to improving access includes changing long-held cultural views, she said. She said it is important that her group and others show the many benefits of improving access to education for girls. In a recent report, the Global Partnership for Education said educated girls are far more likely to get better jobs and more income. They are also likely to give birth to healthier children. And girls that remain in school past elementary school are less likely to be put into forced marriages or to marry as children. A recent Brookings Institution report said better educated girls and women generally have fewer children, and that could reduce population growth in some of the world's poorest nations.
The United Nations has had 8 Secretaries General since its founding in 1945. All 8 have been men. On International Women's Day, some are pushing the United Nations to appoint a woman as its next Secretary General. Kathleen Strzok has this story.
International Women's Day on Tuesday is all about better education and better jobs for women. That includes one job in particular, Secretary General of the United Nations. It is the UN's top post, and no woman has had that post. The UN was founded in 1945 and has had 8 male secretaries general. A woman secretary general, says Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney of New York, would serve as a powerful symbol to the approximately 3.6 billion people in this world who are women. Ban Ki-moon of South Korea has said he will give up the secretary general post at the end of the year. He has been secretary general since 2007. Among the candidates to replace Ban are 3 women: Irina Bokova, now Director General of the UN Organization for Education, Science, and Culture; Natalia German, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs of Moldova; and Vesna Pusic, First Deputy Prime Minister of Croatia. Male candidates include Danilo Turk, former Prime Minister of Slovenia, and Kevin Rudd, Australia's former Prime Minister. The Financial Times recently wrote that German Chancellor Angela Merkel might be a surprise candidate for Secretary General. Jean Krasno is chair of the group campaigned to elect a woman UN Secretary General. Krasno said she will observe International Women's Day in New York. An event there will recognize important work women do for the UN. That includes providing food, housing, and security for families during famines and armed conflicts. The argument has been in the past that there aren't enough qualified women to choose from, Krasno told VOA. That argument no longer holds water. She said her group has identified 38 women with incredible experience, achievement, and qualifications. The United Nations tends to select secretaries general on a rotating basis to make sure each world region gets a person in the top UN job. For this election, the UN is said to be looking at an official from Eastern Europe, according to multiple news reports. If that argument is valid, what about representation for women who make up over half of the world's population? Krasno asked. Krasno teaches political science and international relations at Yale University, Columbia University, and the City University of New York.
I'm Kathleen Strzok.
Tensions are high on the Korean Peninsula after the UN Security Council placed tough sanctions on North Korea. Mario Ritter has the story.
North Korea has threatened a preemptive nuclear strike as the U.S. and South Korean forces began their largest joint military exercises ever. The yearly military drills often increase tensions between North and South Korea. This year, tensions are especially high after the UN Security Council approved new sanctions on North Korea. The sanctions are in response to the North's recent nuclear and long-range rocket tests. The joint military exercises are known as Key Resolve and Full Eagle. The drills involve 17,000 American troops. That is four times the number that took part last year. 300,000 South Korean troops join the drills. Many U.S. aircraft and naval ships are also involved. These include the nuclear-powered submarine, the USS North Carolina, and the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, the USS John C. Stennis. North Korea's National Defense Commission denounced the military exercises in a statement. It said North Korea was prepared for a sacred war of justice for reunification. In the statement, the commission said the military exercises were aimed at harming the sovereignty of the North. South Korean Defense Ministry spokesman Moon Sung-kyun called the North Korean threat unacceptable. The U.S. and South Korea said the joint drills are defensive in nature. This year, the two allies reportedly will practice carrying out preemptive military strikes against North Korean targets. North Korea's recent tests have resulted in an increase in the potential for inter-Korean conflict. In response, the South Korean government in Seoul closed the Kaesong Industrial Complex that it jointly operated with the North. North Korea then deported all South Koreans who were working at the Kaesong Center. It also cut an emergency communication hotline put in place to avoid dangerous military situations. Daniel Pinkston of Troy University in Seoul said, "The situation is risky. If North Korea wants to take some kind of belligerent military action against the South, and in some limited way, I think they are running a very high risk of facing some retaliation," he said. Also, the Philippines has become the first country to enforce the new UN sanctions on North Korea. The Philippine Coast Guard on Friday detained and searched the Jintung, a ship with a crew of 21 North Korean citizens. The search revealed no illicit cargo, only minor safety violations. However, the Jintung has been sanctioned by the UN as one of 31 ships owned by Ocean Maritime Management Company. The company is based in North Korea's capital, Pyongyang. It has been targeted for suspected involvement in trading arms in the past. I'm Mario Ritter.
Americans drove more in 2015 than in any year on record. Bruce Alpert has more.
The U.S. Department of Transportation recently reported that Americans drove a record 3.148 trillion miles last year. In case you are wondering, that is enough to take 337 round trips from Earth to Pluto. There are a number of reasons Americans are driving more, according to experts. The first is the price of gas, which has dropped to 2004 levels in the past year. The American Automobile Association said the average price of unleaded regular gasoline is $1.71 a gallon, or 45.17 cents per liter. That is the lowest price since 2004. P.J. Shira, interim executive director of the Urban Transportation Center at the University of Chicago, said the lower cost to fill up a car or truck is just one reason Americans are driving more. Another reason is that more Americans are back to work after the 2008 recession and driving to their jobs, he said. Most Americans are also traveling longer distance to get to jobs, Shira said. There are increased numbers of Americans who must travel more than 45 miles per day for their jobs, he said. And for many, there are no or not enough public transit options, Shira said. There is a downside to increased driving. Roads are more crowded, Shira said. And while modern automobiles and trucks are more fuel efficient and less polluting, the improvements are not enough to offset more cars on the road, Shira said. Because we're driving more, it's a wash in terms of pollution, Shira told VOA Learning English. I'm Bruce Alpert.
Many people have been watching an online video showing a real dog barking at a robotic dog. A company owned by Google created the robotic dog. Christopher Jones Cruz tells us more about this dog versus robot incident.
Many people are watching a video showing a real dog barking at a robot dog. The robot was made by Boston Dynamics, which is owned by the internet search company Google. Like most of the company's robots, it was designed for military use. But the military did not accept it, so Google is now showing it to the public. In the video, the robot dog plays with Alex, a real dog reportedly owned by Andy Rubin, who helped create the mobile operating system Android. Rubin now heads a company called Playground Global. The robot weighs 75 kilograms, 10 times more than Alex. But Alex does not run away from the robot. The video shows him barking at the robot and preparing to attack it. The person controlling the robot directed it to move away from Alex. But this only seemed to make Alex bark louder. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Google's self-driving car has hit a small bump in the road. The driverless car had an accident February 14th in California. The accident was reported to the Department of Motor Vehicles in California February 23rd. According to Wired, a technology publication, the car changed traffic lanes and moved into the path of a bus. The driverless car was a Lexus SUV. When it hit the bus, the Google car was moving at around 3 kilometers per hour. The speed of the bus was 24 kilometers per hour at the time of the collision. No injuries were reported. The left front wheel and fender of the Google car were damaged. In a May 2015 monthly report, Google said, "We'll inevitably be involved in accidents. Sometimes it's impossible to overcome the realities of speed and distance. In the 6 years of our project, we've been involved in 12 minor accidents during more than 1.8 million miles of autonomous and manual driving combined." Google has predicted the cars will be ready for the road by 2020. I'm Mario Ritter.
This is What's Trending Today. There are still lots of undiscovered areas around the globe, but most are below the surface of the ocean. Recently, the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, discovered something new on the ocean floor. And everyone is calling it cute and adorable, and people on social media love it. Scientists say it might be a new species of octopus. It is similar to some octopi that live in shallow water, but this one was found more than 4,000 meters below the surface. Before this new discovery, the only octopi found in water this deep were very different. Some people want to name it Casper, after the famous ghost of cartoons and movies. NOAA posted a video to YouTube of the octopus sitting on the ocean floor and wiggling its arms. It has more than 200,000 views since March 3rd. The science writer Melissa Dahl called the octopus adorable. The magazine Popular Science called the octopus a cutie and wrote about it with this headline, "Awe and awe." Awe is the sound people make when they are looking at something cute, like a puppy or a baby. Awe is a word used to describe something unique and impressive. But the octopus is not only cute and adorable, it looks to be an important scientific discovery. The scientists at NOAA say the octopus may be part of a new species. And the funny thing is, NOAA was not looking for new sea creatures. It is investigating the way some islands near the U.S. state of Hawaii formed many years ago. To do this, the scientists aboard a ship drop some remote-controlled submarines into the ocean. They go down to the floor, more than 4,000 meters deep, and collect rock samples. As soon as the investigators saw this octopus, they said it was beautiful, different than the two we got on video last year. They also said it was definitely not in the Hurl Guide, which is a directory of undersea creatures in the Pacific Ocean. NOAA released images and video of this new octopus in early March, and people on social media sites started talking about it over the weekend. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Dan Friedel.
This year, the U.S. National Park Service turns 100. America's 28th president, Woodrow Wilson, formed the National Park Service in 1916 to protect the wild and wonderful landscapes in the United States. President Ulysses S. Grant established Yellowstone National Park as the country's first national park in 1872. Every month, VOA Learning English will feature some of the 407 parks and historical sites within the National Park Service. To celebrate International Women's Day, we start our tour in Seneca Falls, a small city in the state of New York. Seneca Falls is known as the birthplace of the women's rights movement in America. The town is home to the Women's Rights National Historical Park. The park tells the story of the first Women's Rights Convention held in Seneca Falls in 1848. On July 19th and 20th of 1848, 300 women and men gathered at the town's Wesleyan Chapel for the Women's Rights Convention. Among them was Elizabeth Cady Stanton. She was one of the early leaders of the women's rights movement and one of five women who organized the convention in Seneca Falls. Leaders at the convention discussed the social, civil, and religious conditions and the rights of women. At the end of the two-day convention, 68 women and 32 men signed the Declaration of Sentiments, which Elizabeth Cady Stanton co-wrote. The declaration stated, "We insist that they, women, have immediate admission to all the rights and privileges which belong to them as citizens of these United States." The declaration called for voting rights for women, among other demands. In 1920, 72 years later, the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution gave women the right to vote. The meeting in Seneca Falls paved the way for the women's rights movement in America, and the Women's Rights National Historical Park honors its role in U.S. history. The Visitor's Center displays life-size statues of the five women who organized the first Women's Rights Convention. Sculptor Lloyd Lilly created the statues. His work is called The First Wave. Visitors to the Women's Rights National Historical Park can go inside of Elizabeth Cady Stanton's house. She lived in Seneca Falls from 1847 until 1862. She called her house there the Center of the Rebellion. Visitors can also tour the Wesleyan Chapel, where the meeting took place 168 years ago. The chapel was built in 1843. Political rallies, free speech events, and anti-slavery activity often took place inside the church. Seneca Falls is now also home to the National Women's Hall of Fame. It was created in 1969. The National Women's Hall of Fame is the oldest organization that recognizes and honors important American women. More than 200 women have been named to the Hall of Fame. One of them is current U.S. presidential candidate and former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. She became a member in 2005. Clinton was the first female U.S. senator from New York State and the first former First Lady elected to the United States Senate.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.